Well, today's video was precipitated by a call that I received from a dear Singaporean friend named Elijah Wijaya. Before I get to that, I want to give some perspective because his call was really a call about the coronavirus, COVID-19. And in essence, his call was a call to action for the body of Christ. But before I get into that, let me give you some perspective. In terms of world history, the novel coronavirus pales by comparison to pandemics of the past. Think, for example, smallpox. During the 18th century, smallpox took the lives of some 400,000 Europeans each and every year. In fact, smallpox accounted for a third of all blindness. And in the 20th century, smallpox was responsible for a staggering 300 to 500 million deaths. As recently as 1967, some 15 million people contracted smallpox and 2 million of them died. It wasn't until December of 1979 that the World Health Organization finally certified its eradication. Of course, many more examples could be given. I think of the Black Death. 200 million people died. And then 100 years ago, the Spanish flu that took the lives of 50 millions of people. And as of this video, the coronavirus has taken the lives of some 20,000 worldwide, including between 600 and 700 in the United States of America. Now, I'm rattling off these statistics for one very significant reason, and that is to provide you with some perspective. Because as serious as the present pandemic is, we desperately need perspective. When you're in the middle of something, it's hard to gain perspective. And not only so, but while trillions of government assistance may well be needed, what is far more acutely needed is for you and I to turn our hearts and our hopes toward God. Because ultimately, it is God, not government, that holds the answer to our futures, not only in this life, but in the life that is to come. And as I said, all of this is but prologue to an important call I received yesterday morning. The call again was from Elijah Wijaya. He's the very person to whom I dedicated my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. In fact, it was Elijah who first put this title into my heart and into my mind. And while at first I thought of this title as a false dichotomy, I've come to understand its brilliance over time. Why? Because, as has been well said, outside of the truth kept by the whole church, personal experience would be deprived of all certainty. It would be a mingling of truth and falsehood, of reality and of illusion. And thus, while there can be no life without truth, it is also true to say that there can be no truth without life. And while this life, the life that matters more, is a realm largely inaccessible to our human apprehensions of truth, we do well to remember that truth is a means. It encompasses a unity of knowledge subserving an end that transcends all knowledge. And that ultimate end is union with God. Again, I write about this in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Now, the reason that Elijah's call was so significant to me is that he has spoken prophetically at significant times in my life and in my ministry. And therefore, I've learned to take seriously what he says, not because I think he has the ability to foretell the future, but because he has been given the gift of forthtelling. In other words, of exhortation, of calling to action the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That means you and me. And so yesterday, his call to action respecting the coronavirus was something that was not only crystal clear to me, but something that he exhorted me to call the body of Christ, the church which he purchased with his own blood, to do something about. So what can we do? Well, Elijah gave three perspectives, three things that we can do in his call yesterday morning. The first of which is to pray three times a day. Of course, that's precisely what the early church was in the habit of doing. Very much like Daniel, who prayed morning, noon, and night for the restoration of an exiled people of the promise. So we can follow that pattern. We can pray for God's hand of mercy in the midst of the present coronavirus pandemic, in the manner of Daniel. The Didache, and by the way, this is a manuscript which may well have been in use at the time of the destruction of the temple, directed God's people to pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day in the manner that the ancient Jews prayed the Hebrew Shema. Remember the Hebrew Shema? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Well, the Didache taught people, exhorted people to pray the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And by the way, the ancient Jews could never pray Our Father who art in heaven. They weren't even permitted to say the name of God. But Jesus taught us to pray Our Father, not my Father, but Our Father, because we pray in plural. So consider praying the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And while you consider praying the Lord's Prayer three times a day, as exhorted by Elijah, also consider praying the Jesus Prayer in the manner I set forth in Truth Matters, Life Matters More. The Lord's Prayer is chronicled in Matthew chapter 6. That becomes my entryway into God's presence morning, noon, and night. But the Jesus Prayer is the means by which I remain constant in prayer throughout the day. It's rooted in the notion that we are to pray constantly, to pray without ceasing, to continue steadfast in prayer. It's simple. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. There are longer versions as well. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Or, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, for thou alone art worthy now and forever and to the ages of ages. Amen. It's part of my memory trace now. It's part of my DNA. It's as natural to me now to pray the Jesus Prayer as it is to breathe. And the local churches, they also pray a shorter version of this. It's calling upon the name of the Lord. And that is also extraordinarily efficacious. That's simply, O Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus. In essence, it is to be constant in prayer. Let me move along to the second of Elijah's exhortations, which is to pray not only three times a day, but to pray for 21 days. Now, why is that important? Because as in Daniel's day, there are strongholds that need to be broken. Daniel not only prayed three times a day, but he prayed and he fasted for 21 days. And thereafter, you'll remember from the text that one in the appearance of a man touched him and strengthened him. And in the end, Daniel was not only empowered to foretell the death and defeat of the Old Testament Antichrist in Antiochus IV Epiphanes, but to foresee the coming of the Babe of Bethlehem, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion that will never pass away. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. The beauty of praying three times a day for 21 days, well, it's difficult to overstate. Just one of the many blessings that you will accrue is that if you pray three times a day for the entirety of 3 weeks, you will most certainly establish an unbreakable pattern for the rest of your days. Thus, long after the coronavirus has run its course, you will have gained a manner of prayer that is transformational. And then there was the third point that Elijah made in his telephone call. It is certainly last in the progression of things, but it is not least. And it was Elijah's encouragement to pray in one accord. And that, of course, accords gloriously with the high priestly prayer of Jesus, which is chronicled in John chapter 17. Remember what Jesus prayed. He said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Union with God and unity with one another is not only the goal of our salvation, but it is the means of global transformation. God became incarnate in the form of humanity so that humanity might rise up to union with God. United to God and united to one another, the authentic church is, well, it's empowered by an unlimited flow of divine energy by which to provide life and light to this present generation. If we're divided, the church's energy remains limited and toxic. Unity around the essentials of the Christian faith, however, is the greatest antidote to the cultural captivity of the contemporary Christian church. The manifestation of the uncreated, inexhaustible energy supply, which alone is sufficient to save the world. This video is so important. Elijah Wajaya's call to action in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic is a call that I commit to the body of Christ. With great passion, pray three times a day, in the morning, noon, at night. Do it for 21 days, and it may well become a habit for the rest of your life. And pray in union with the body of Christ and for the unity of the body of Christ. I hope you will join me. If you start today or you start tomorrow, it matters not. But do it for 21 days, because at the end of this pandemic, and it will end one day, you will have a pattern of prayer for the rest of your days, a pattern that you can pass on as a legacy to your loved ones. So long for now.